Working with thinking and pain. At the beginning of the practice, at least, a lot of meditators are much troubled by their thoughts as well as painful body sensations. Pain from the sitting posture is workable, as the cause comes from not being accustomed to the cross-legged sitting posture. Thinking is more of a challenge, as it requires patience and skill to come to terms with it. Meditators are likely to assume that somehow they must get rid of the thought or block them out to be successful in meditation. This might be the case in concentration-based meditation, where the one-pointed concentration on the meditation object will eventually suppress the thinking process to induce a state of calm. But in Vipassana meditation, we do not want to suppress the thinking merely to get some relief from the turbulence of the mind. Rather, we are seeking to insight into the nature of the mind and to the thinking process itself. Thinking by its nature cannot be exactly aligned with the present moment experience. It can describe it, but the description can never be the actual experience. Thinking is mostly either of the past or a projection into the future. Thinking creates ideas, plans, concepts, or opinions produced by mental activity. It is symbolic, not an ultimate reality. It does not lead to the primary experience, that is, direct experiential knowing. The strategy in working with thinking in Vipassana meditation is to first allow it to be, not getting into struggle with it, and to regard it as just another object to be noted. In time, one becomes skilled in witnessing the thinking process without becoming involved so much in the content of the mind. It's like standing on a pavement, passively aware of the traffic going by without reacting to the passing traffic itself, until eventually the mind is quiet, or at least it quietens down somewhat. Then the naturally quiet or silent mind will open more to the direct experience of the phenomena under observation. To have the truly stilled mind is not so easy. For again and again, the meditator finds him or herself lost in thought, only catching the thinking retrospectively. Patience and perseverance is called in for this situation. Be assured that in time, the trains of thoughts will slow down sufficiently so that you will start to notice gaps or pauses in the thoughts. So by being aware, even just occasionally, of the gaps in the thinking, there is an opening to be able, as it were, to catch the next thought as it is forming. That is, the beginning of the thought. This acts as a circuit breaker. The circuit is broken and the mind is quietened, and one's attention is able to resume noting the primary object of the rise and fall movement of the abdomen. As this level, the mind has quietened sufficiently to just know, that is, the mind knowing the mind. In the short term, there is another way to work with circuitous thinking using skillful means, that is, using the mental noting technique of thinking to cut the incessant thinking itself. But this noting has to be done vigorously, otherwise one can find one has drifted off thinking about the nature of thought itself. The mental noting of thinking can be a powerful tool to inhibit the thinking, but it has to be used judiciously. Eventually, by persistently noting the thinking, one tends less to get involved with the content of the mind and become more dispassionate towards the content itself. There is a saying, pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. Understandably, meditators want the unpleasant feeling or pain they are experiencing in the practice to go away. The underlying assumption is that by burying the pain, it will go away and then they will feel good. And without the pain, they will have pleasant experiences as a reward for their effort. Actually, in Vipassana meditation, we do the opposite. That is, we are trying to understand the nature of the pain and to investigate the so-called pain, not to get rid of it. The Vipassana meditator is very fortunate to have pain, at least manageable posture pain, as it is an excellent teacher, with the added bonus that you will at least remain awake. Pain is the body's signal that something is wrong. The pain is telling you that you must attend to it. The painful sensations we work with in meditation are mostly those generated from the sitting posture. The reason, of course, for the pain is that a person is not used to sitting in a cross-legged position for long periods at a stretch. So posture pain is workable pain. The rule of thumb when working with any pain is first to check that it is not a pre-existing condition, whether it causes a health problem or not. Take note as to whether the pain is one was experiencing during the sitting period goes away more or less immediately after the session. If that is the case, then one can be assured that it is only posture pain and no damage is being done. When one experiences postural pain in sitting meditation, it is actually an opportunity to work with it. Regard it as your best friend, as you can learn much from it. So do not drive it away. Invite it in and get to know it. It is not a matter of just bearing the pain. The practice is to investigate it, to penetrate it deeply. If you can work successfully with physical pain, then you are more likely to be able to work with mental pain. Yet meditators are inclined to avoid working with pain. For example, every time they get to the threshold of pain, they pull away, and this then becomes the pain barrier, a block in the practice. They hope that they can build up a tolerance of pain without having to work with it. But unfortunately, this inclination to work with pain becomes a major mental and physical obstacle to the meditator's progress. How to work with pain? It is not likely that you are experiencing pain all over the body, so first localize it, for example, in the knee area. Initially, there might be muscular reaction to the pain, like when one has a dip in icy cold water. There is an initial shock, but once it is in the water, usually one can bear it and stay with the cold sensations. Relax and soften into the painful sensations, looking for particular characteristics in the pain: heat, tension, throbbing, stabbing, etc. When there is no resistance to the pain, the particular characteristics will manifest. When the particular characteristics are aligned with the knowing of, that is, the consciousness of, the pain, this will reveal the general or universal characteristics of change, unsatisfactoriness, and insubstantiality. Besides posture pain, there can be all sorts of mysterious aches and pain in these types of meditation, so-called vipassana pain, that is, various painful sensations in the body, often so intense that you suppose there might be some medical condition causing them. If that is the case, having checked whether that is it is or not, then you need not to worry, as it is all workable. They have a saying in the Burmese Vipassana tradition: pain is the doorway to nirvana. The teachers are very pleased when you report interesting pain in the interview, as they know that you can make good progress in the meditation if you are prepared to work with and can sort out the pain from the suffering. It is the resistance to the pain that is causing the suffering. The mind is striking at the so-called pain, complaining about the pain, wanting it to go away, or trying to dissociate from the pain. But once you are able to work with pain, you will be able to differentiate the pain from the suffering, and thus how one relates to the pain will change. When we talk about suffering, the three kinds of suffering. Not appreciating the basic premise of the Buddha Dharma, that is the first noble truth, the fact of suffering, is the root of the problem. It cannot be, as a senior monk has recently advocated, that the Buddha's first noble truth is that of happiness. Understandably, the fact of suffering is not palatable to many people. But if you think you will popularize the Buddha's Dharma in this way, then one is mistaken. This is contrary to the Buddha's core teaching and the reason why so many people are caught in delusion. Whether we like it or not, we need to understand and be able to handle suffering to some extent, especially mental suffering, notwithstanding our inclination to acknowledge the fact of suffering or not. Vipassana meditators are more likely to be able to work with the three kinds of suffering: ordinary suffering, such as emotional ups and downs and relationship difficulties. We all experience this ordinary suffering to some degree, but if you are skillful, it need not be such a problem, as you can work with this kind of suffering, so it is not so necessary. Then there is a suffering of change, also known as a suffering of happiness, whether it is change in circumstances or just a mind state. Nothing can remain the same for very long. Everything, absolutely everything, is subject to change. But if one is not so attached to things or relationships, then again this type of suffering caused by change is manageable. The third kind of suffering is not so apparent. It is conditioned or existential suffering. Ordinary people are usually not even aware of it. It is a deep suffering stemming from one's mental constructions. It is experienced in the insight knowledges in Vipassana meditation, when the intelligence and wisdom is highly developed, that one sees that all mental and physical phenomena are unstable, unsatisfactory, and are just impersonal processes. Not me, not myself. The maturity of this insight brings about a deep transformation of consciousness that finally frees us from all suffering. The purpose of Buddhist meditation, Vipassana or otherwise, is not just for curing physical diseases. If physical healing happens to occur, then it is considered a byproduct of the practice, nothing more. A whole range of stress-related physical illnesses, such as stomach ulcers, angina, migraine, etc., can be alleviated by meditation practice. But meditation is not about pursuing a miraculous cure. That is more the nature of faith healing. Healing and transformation are the outcome of the practice. All forms of suffering or mental pain, such as anguish, remorse, grief, etc., can be cured in Vipassana meditation through the purification of the mind. That is the real miracle. Whether medical science can ultimately cure all physical disease is problematic, as it is the nature of the body to eventually break down. All phenomena has three phases: birth, life, and death. Therefore, pain is inherent in nature. While we may or may not be able to cure physical disease, Vipassana or insight meditation, as it is a healing and transformative practice, has been recognized as a treatment for mental suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, and the underlying message of the Buddha Dharma is that suffering is actually unnecessary. We do not need to suffer. There is the fact of suffering, the cause of suffering, the possibility of the ending of suffering, and the practice path leading out of suffering. If we are suffering, it is probably because of ignorance, and it is very likely to be unintentional self-inflicted. Unfortunately, what we are usually experience is unnecessary suffering. So why suffer? We do not need to suffer mentally at all. As the compassionate Buddha has shown us, the way to be free of suffering is through the practice of wise attention that develops insight into the true nature of the mind and body. Then we can finally be free from the burden of self-inflicted suffering.